Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. Thank you for being with us in your ears. We, on this podcast, we are grateful that you are even taking the time to listen to us. And we don't discriminate on any kind of size of ear. We like large ears, small ears, one ears.
I got the big ones.
Zero ears. We love...
Three?
Three ears, maybe.
Bring it.
But yeah,
we'll just add another, back. Add another channel.
We are back. And that's it. This has been Outsiders Podcast. Okay. You guys want to go around?
Sure.
See how we're doing? I'll go last. Bryce, you can go first.
Why do you always go last?
Well, because I like being last. I mean, I'm number five on the list, so I should go last.
Because I... Yep. You're the last.
I am, will be first.
I'm doing... Okay. My wife and my youngest are in Branson on vacation, so... I'm sad, but it's fine. I'm fine. Once Cam hears this, he's going to be like, fine. We all know what that means. So, yeah, I'm fine. But
the more you say it, the more we don't believe it.
You shouldn't believe it. It's sad. I do have Pierce and Layla, my two oldest, with me, so that's wonderful. But I still miss my wife and my youngest. Mm-hmm. Andrew, how are you?
Hey, it's been a crazy week. We had a 1-year-old birthday party, which is...
It's a long time to do a birthday party.
Love.
Hey, yo. Yeah.
Hey.
That's an Andrew joke. Whoa.
It's also, that's how much effort we put into it for a child that will not remember one thing. But yeah, I mean, they're for the parents and everything, so I know. But so that was exhausting. And like my wife did 80, 90% of that. So I can't imagine how she's feeling right now. And we had also had a sick baby earlier in the week and just, yeah, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, so it was a rough week, a little bit crazy. I'm tired, but we're good. At the end of the day, God is good.
All the time. God is good.
I'm still more blessed than I deserve at this very moment, at every moment of the day. Brett, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, I would say, for the record. Not much to report. I started a new job on Tuesday.
Was that English?
Yeah.
Did everybody else hear it?
I understood you fine.
No, I start a new job on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. And life is busy. School's starting, so kids are busy. And so we are busy. So it's been good. So
your kids have school tomorrow?
We're talking about making them do some school. So tomorrow's Labor Day as we record. And so on Friday, we're going to church retreat. And so we might give them Friday off. So there might be a trade tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. So, but it'll be like pulling teeth.
Oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see. Because
what were they going to do for Labor Day?
Exactly. Labor.
Get drunk?
Like. Labor.
Not me. Not me this time.
What are you on tonight?
Like, can we not talk about getting drunk on podcast?
Oh, whatever. It's fine. I'm not. You can keep that one.
That's a good one.
Okay, so Jim, how are you doing? Let's move on.
I am doing well. I am in the middle of a bathroom remodel, which I greatly dislike. And last Sunday, I trapped a raccoon.
No, wait, what?
Nice.
Wow.
Great story. Great drop in.
It's my third one in a month.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, you told me that.
Are you going out looking for them, or are they just in your house?
You know, my wife feeds them.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. That's a whole different situation.
That's a very...
Why?
There's a podcast about raccoons I listened to a couple years ago that really
fascinated
me about raccoons.
Hold on. Was the entire show about raccoons?
Yeah, it was legit. No, it was legitimately like the study of raccoons.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was
more than one episode about raccoons? Episode about a different animal each week?
It might have been. It's a podcast called Ologies. So it goes through all different kinds of. Yes. And one of them was about raccoons, and it fascinated me. I'm like, these monsters are actually very smart.
I would have trouble with the part of my brain that says, hey, that's a wild animal that might have rabies.
Yes.
Is not as strong as the part of me that's like, ooh, the ears, it's fuzzy. Go pet it. Like, that part of me is stronger, unfortunately.
I will say...
It works with bears, too.
Little House on the Prairie did it wrong. Those animals are not domesticated.
Did they have a pet raccoon?
Because
I didn't watch that
yes,
show.
Yes, they did.
Unless you're Pocahontas.
What? Maybe.
Once they get older, they're not nice.
Yeah. Mm. Well, like up in Canada with raccoons. So they're trash cans. They put locks.
Is this going to be a podcast about raccoons?
Maybe. They put locks on the
Can we at least acknowledge the fact that we're completely stepping on Jim's whole introduction?
He introduced last time.
He was giving us an update on his life. We're just like, hey, let's talk about raccoons for 20 minutes.
He brought it up. We're expanding on this idea of raccoons.
Jim broke the seal on that one, just mentioning raccoons.
Three raccoons. Anyway, sorry, Jim.
No, we're good.
This is normal.
That was my week.
Andrew and Brandon are fascinated as much as your wife with raccoons, clearly.
I'm not going to invite them to my home.
I don't know.
It
would surprise me.
I would.
Your boys would love it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're right.
And how's Brandon?
Oh, my goodness. I'm just great.
Yeah, that one was more time with feeling. That was just as convincing as my
fine. That sounds like fine.
Yeah. I mean, as Brett said, we started school, and I think I've gotten multiple calls all week. So, if anything, you can pray for my wife. I think you can pray for us. I think having kids is a blessing, obviously, but it's also like, my goodness, sometimes it is difficult. But they're worth it, obviously. I haven't gotten rid of them yet.
Keep up the great work.
Good job, Richard.
I don't want to elaborate because I don't want people asking me questions about my life.
There's that.
I'm just saying. That's okay. All I'm saying.
So, Bryce, how are you?
Wait, what?
Are we going back around?
Yeah.
Second take.
Lap two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing great now.
Yeah.
After hearing about Brandon's life.
My life isn't bad. It's just been.
I don't have a small army of raccoons.
Yeah, I don't have that. Jim has that.
Jim does it. That's Jim's life.
I have a small army of probably insects somewhere in my house from my kids collecting them.
I believe that.
So, hey.
Good time.
We've got an opener, and we have a guy that's in charge of that.
Yeah. We're 10 minutes in.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there's like three edits.
You're right. Yeah, there are a lot of edits.
Probably down to four minutes.
All right. Today's stupid opening thing.
Dummy.
We're going to do dad jokes about movies.
Yes.
Bryce's favorite. I hope they're all about Star Wars.
Who?
Well, I love Star Trek. That's who's got Captain Picard, right?
Wait. You said that right.
Did I?
Yep.
Joke's on you.
Joke's on me. I didn't get Andrew.
You said it right.
That's unfortunate.
The first one, I think at least some of you are present for this first one, the first time I said it, but I'm going to do it again for the show. If you watch the movie Jaws in reverse, it is a heartwarming tale of a giant white shark with the magical ability to give disabled people their limbs.
I was not around the first time you said
that.
I was around.
Oh, boy. You know the funniest thing I heard about Jaws was it was about politics. It said in Jaws 2, the same mayor is still around.
Yeah,
votes matter.
You need to vote.
You need to vote. The mayor from number one is still mayor in number two.
My wife asked if I wanted to watch Doctor Strange for movie night, but I said no. I had Stranger Things to watch.
Oh, so dumb. That's a great show.
Just so you know, I'm skipping a bunch of these.
I might have to go rewatch that now.
Now we don't have to edit you.
We?
Yeah, right. No, now just, Bryce doesn't have to edit you.
They're not inappropriate. They're just not funny.
Oh. All
right. A girl is fed up with her boyfriend's obsession with detective movies. And so she says, this is too much. We should split up. And he says, yes, we'll cover more ground that way.
That's great.
That's a great way to get out of getting broken up with, too.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Wow.
We're just giving all kinds of good advice tonight. Yes. Raccoons.
Stallone says to some of his friends that he's making a movie about composers. He's going to play Vivaldi. Van Damme says he'll be Mozart. And Schwarzenegger says, stop it, guys. I'm not going to say it.
So funny. So funny.
I love Arnold.
I'll be Bach.
I get it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Edit that part out.
I almost. I think you should keep.
No, I'm keeping it.
Keep it.
Any reference to Arnold, I'm for.
Any?
Any.
Oh, boy.
Any single one.
I read his book. It was really good.
Who is your daddy? What does he do?
Nothing.
That's from Predator.
My dad does nothing.
That's from Predator.
I hope he listens to this.
He probably doesn't.
Kindergarten.
God. Again, too disappointed.
I saw an R-rated movie that didn't have any violence or blood, no nudity, no profanity. I thought it was overrated.
That one hurt.
And I'm trying to think of a movie that might be relevant to.
Twisters.
Maybe. Them tornadoes are scary. Twisters, too. Two Twisters.
Why can't you hand Elsa a balloon?
Oh, she'll let it go.
There you go. Yeah.
That song's terrible.
Yet it went like diamond or something. Clearly Disney.
Hey, Pastor Dave said it all right today.
He did.
Follow your heart.
I don't think that's what he said.
Or maybe the opposite.
He said it once.
Yeah, but maybe in the negative.
No.
Maybe.
I know, he doesn't.
Do we want more of these?
No.
Stop?
Bryce was done before we started.
He doesn't listen to this.
I usually love...
What?
I have to listen to this two times before.
I don't think Pastor Dave listens to podcasts.
Oh,
I don't
he doesn't.
So. No. I don't even know if he knows how to access them.
He probably still listens to
podcasts. If we mailed him like a paper transcript...
He would read it.
He would read it.
That's true.
He would love to read it.
There is a transcription.
Yeah.
I could print it out.
You should print one out and just leave it on his desk. He'd be like, ooh, great.
Ooh, what's that?
Yeah, it's like, wow, is this some sort of ransom note?
Speaking of,
oh boy, okay.
I had an idea for a movie where the plot is that an ex-CIA agent has his daughter kidnapped and he goes to find her, but the idea was already taken.
That's
Then there's going to be a sequel where his ex-wife gets kidnapped, but that was taken too.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
you're killing me, Andrew.
Here's a thumper. That's the end.
That's perfect.
That's the end of
that was great.
Movie dad jokes.
That was great.
So how do I transition into this?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, yeah. So we talked our last podcast. We had a pretty big overview about how the truth sets us free. And we talked a little bit more about it. And there was so many subjects that could come out of that one episode. We went into a slew of a lot of different things. But we had 3 points, and so we're going to break down those 3 points a bit tonight in the next couple episodes. But tonight, we're talking about grounding ourselves in Scripture, and C.S. Lewis puts it as this: I believe in Christianity, as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And the way we see the world, hopefully, would be in the lens of Scripture, like Psalms 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may see your wondrous things from your law. So, before we get into this, do you guys have any opinions on grounding ourselves in Scripture?
We should.
Ding, ding,
other
ding,
than
ding,
that,
ding,
it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but give me some stuff. Give our audience some things, some points of view from you guys. Don't jump all at once.
What? Give me a better idea. So you're asking us how it is that we ground ourselves or what we think about it?
Yeah, like, okay, what's the reason we would ground ourselves in Scripture
mm-hmm.
in this day and age? Can't we just watch, like, a 5-minute overview of what it means, or should we be more in depth and more intentional about how we study the Word of God?
The Word is God speaking to us in the format that we can comprehend without our brains exploding. Mm-hmm. So I think that he would put the care and deliberate form to it to make it exactly what we need.
Yeah.
He wouldn't make it more than we need or less than. He wouldn't leave it incomplete for us. He wouldn't make it too much and that we'd be confused and it'd be cluttered.
Yeah.
But he would make it exactly what it needs to be for us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that to try and ground ourselves in a truth that is either, you know, like a distilled short film version or something. I think about like, so like, I love The Chosen. It's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just like base your idea of what it exactly was like back then based on that show, even though it's an easier format for me to take in than reading because of the ADD and all that. But scripture is the way God intended for us to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that needs to be our foundation of truth. Mm-hmm. And everything else can work off of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's layered. So like one person who maybe first time through can read it and get a lot from it. And another person who's been through it more often can read and still get more out of it as well. So it's almost doesn't matter how many times you read it. There's just another layer that can be opened up and you can be exposed to. So it's,
yeah.
So whether you need it easy or you need it deep, it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's as safe as a kiddie pool for a new believer. And it's as deep as the ocean for somebody that's been a believer for 40 years. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible itself says, you know, it's living and active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, and it's able to divide between the spirit and everything. So I don't want to say any more than that. I mean, you guys said it great. It's it's what we need. I mean, it's God. If people just would capture the vision that it is God speaking to us, it should be the bedrock of all that we do and all we think about. And it helps us to better know God or to know God, period. I mean, I think you can make a case from Romans 1 that the creation would suggest that there's enough in creation to see that God, but to know him and to know about him and to know what we need to know about him is he's told us from his scripture. So if we want to know the true God and what is reality, we need to go where he tells us to go, which is scripture.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the Bible is considered the ultimate source for Christians in particular, but for everything. I mean, understanding everything. So, see, it'd be like it contains the teachings and stories and principles that reveal God's nature, his will for humanity, and the moral framework for living a truthful life. And so by studying and reading scripture, you align your understanding with the divine truths and that are unchanging and eternal, which is good. And I would go down to like Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, or he will make straight your paths, I think some other translations would say. And I think I would like that a little bit more, because he can direct us, but he makes straight the paths. So it kind of references to that straight and narrow road when it comes to following Christ. Let's see what else we got here. So here's question one. How can daily scripture reading and meditation influence our decision-making and personal growth?
That's a great question. I always jump in first, but Jim's going to go. So go. Where are you going to go? Go.
Go.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Do it. Yeah. I don't think it's a question that a person could answer for everybody.
No.
Because as I read, it's gonna apply to me, and I have decisions to make today that you don't have to make, and I think it becomes that personal.
Yeah.
It's you want to dive in, you know, should I pick blue or green for the kitchen? Probably not in.
hopefully neither.
Probably not in there. But there are concepts in there that might answer that question for you. Like, what does your wife think about it? Mm. You know, and how important is that to her? And so there becomes, you start to see the bigger picture and the other things that are happening around you because of the scriptures bringing those things out.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I would also say if we're thinking just about cultural things, personal growth and development has made a huge comeback, especially amongst men. I mean, you think about Jordan Peterson or Joe Rogan. I mean, you think about, there's all these people that are putting out content that there's obviously an incredible hunger for personal development, growth, wisdom, decision making. I mean, I'm not even on Instagram that much, but they just always pump me like dudes that are always trying to sell me on being more successful. So I don't know what about the algorithm tells them that I need to be more successful, which is probably a bad sign. But I'm getting that over and over, and there's so many people doing it. And so I think the reality is, or the question probably needs to be said to each person, you're already probably thinking about this, or you're already getting this type of stuff pushed to you about being mindful and meditating and manifesting and all that new age stuff or the personal growth stuff. It seems like the world is trying to fill that in with something. And as Christians, we're saying those things might have their place and be helpful for you professionally or otherwise. That's not really the point of this podcast. But ultimately, if you profess to be a Christian, we need to know what the Bible says about things like decision making and personal growth and meditating. And so we have such a greater wealth, a greater spring to draw from. You know, why drink from the muddy, dirty water when we have the fountain of living water at our fingertips, at our disposal every morning, every day? And I think the question would imply that, I love the question. And I think what's interesting is the question is already being answered, culturally speaking. It's happening. The question is, you, dear Christian, where are you going to go for your highest authority? And if it's these other things because they're more palatable or they're speaking about things that are relevant to today, well, then you just don't understand the value of Scripture.
Yeah.
Because the Bible is incredibly valuable for today. It's all we need for life and godliness. And Christ is, but Christ as the Word and His the revealed Word of God is the springboard that takes us to Christ. But
I mean, Scripture provides guidance to like distinguishing between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
These podcasts with Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, all good things. I'm not like taking a knock at them by any means, but they're not going to point you to what is right. They're not going to point you to what is truly right, which is Christ. And I think that's what's missing from the, like, there's all these good things. There's all these good points, but they're just missing the final point,
mm-hmm.
or the final starting middle point, which is living a life.
To me, it's like a master key.
Yeah.
The truth of Scripture really unlocks all other wisdoms. If you have the master key, it opens every door.
Yes.
And having the Bible as our basis gives us this bedrock to say, okay, what is it? So how do we know what is true in a secular podcast? Or how do I know what to take from this self-help book or what to leave behind? I think the Scripture can speak to all of that and help us develop ourselves professionally, socially, every other way that we want to be developed. The Scripture can act as a bedrock to that and help kind of put up some guardrails so we don't take from the culture the things we shouldn't, and we don't buy some of the lies that are out there. We can be more discerning, I think, is what the Bible
says. Well, what Proverbs 12:17 would say, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. So I think grounding ourselves in Scripture helps us become more aware of lies and truths. And hopefully we would strive to be more truthful in our work, in our workplaces, our homes, our churches, out amongst common people like ourselves, you know, like we're not, like, take us out of the church. How are we talking outside of church? Do we sound a lot like the world, or do we sound a lot like something else? Something that kind of piques the ear, right? Like, man, why don't you talk this way? Like, why don't you talk down about your boss? Why don't you have coarse joking and things like that? I'm not saying that I'm not perfect at it, so I mean, Bryce told me last episode I at least had 3. But I'm working on 0 this time. 0 critical ones.
You know, we all in some ways live in our own echo chambers.
Yes. 100%.
We hang with people who tell us things that we want to hear or things that we already think we know or and all that kind of stuff. And whether you're a believer inside the church or not a believer inside the church, one of the things that the Bible does is it causes me to think about things outside of my echo chamber, outside of where I'm at, and it challenges me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I was going to say it kind of like sharpens you to say, to really find what is true.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree with that.
You know, I can't tell you the number of times ask myself the question, could that be true? Reading through the scriptures, could that really?
Yeah.
That doesn't, at this point in time, it doesn't fit into my life, but I don't just walk away and say it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I want to meditate on it. I want to think about it. I want to get other opinions. I want to get feedback.
Yeah.
Takes me outside of my echo chamber.
Yeah. You know, and we want to be critical thinkers when it comes to like finding the truth. I think it's too easy for people to not critically think about these like pretty like important things. And I think that's why we have a lot of like sheepish attitude towards like the new thing that comes out of like Christendom and church. And that's not a good method just to go with the flow. Like, if it seems off, push back a bit. Like, where does it say in scripture that I should be doing this or that? And why does this not seem like it's lining up very much to what I've heard over the years? You know, I think in our culture, it's too easy to throw out the old and more quote unquote traditional sounding thing. But obviously, like, it's been refined in the fire more and more. But we should be doing that on our own as well. Psalm 119:97-98 would say, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." So, yeah. Second question. Maybe we can get into this one. I don't know if we have to or not, but let's see what you guys think. What practices or methods can we use to ensure that our interpretation of Scripture aligns with its historical and cultural context? Would that be a good one to talk about?
Depends. You want to go to seminary anytime soon?
Let's do it.
it's pretty deep.
No, like, I mean, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Yeah, the script, like, I think you and I have talked about it a lot, Brett, but the scripture was written in a certain way for a certain group of people, but it influences us now too. So it's like Psalms are poetic, like the Proverbs are wisdom literature, the Gospels are probably, you could call them like biographies or autobiographies of Jesus and his ministry, and then you have letters, and then you have dead literature called apocalyptic, which would be like, what, Isaiah, Revelation. So it's not, there's these things. Then there's historical narrative, which would be like the Torah. So you have all these things, but I think it's easy to ditch that sometimes complex view of the scripture. That's not like, not everyone's thinking like, well, what narrative, what style of genre was this written in? Like, who is this written for? Like, they're not all thinking about these things, right? Mm-hmm. But if you start to look and open that door up a little bit more, it makes more sense, and it opens up another realm and level of understanding in scripture, right? And it's not the, well, God wrote this and he had me in mind kind of idea, right? Mm-hmm. So that, which I would say is a false view of scripture. Like, there's, he knows all things, but when this was written, this was for a certain group of people. But it translates now to us, and we can use it for ourselves because he was speaking to us thousands of years ago. And yeah, I think you probably have a better thought on it.
I don't know if I have a better thought. What I would say is one thing that really helped me in my development of reading scripture is going from reading the Bible literally to reading it literarily. So mm-hmm. a lot of times you get, especially in like historical narratives or Proverbs, those are two really good examples. So in a historical narrative, it's putting myself in the text or just taking a sentence out of a paragraph and saying this sentence, also known as a verse, has a little number before it. So it's its own unique thought. And in reality, especially in like a historical narrative, that sentence is probably part of a larger thought. You've got to capture the whole thought. You can get away with it sometimes in Paul's letters because a lot of times those sentences are a whole verse. But if you get into the Old Testament, you start running the risk of missing the meaning of a text because you're narrowing in on it too tight and you're not mm-hmm. seeing the context. And then the other thing with Proverbs is they're not promises. So you can't read a proverb and say, if I do A, B will be the desired outcome guaranteed. And so when you say historical or cultural, what I would say is reading the genre matters. Mm-hmm. So if it's a story, you've got to get all the parts of the story to understand what's being taught. If it's a letter, you got to get the thought. It's a paragraph. So you've got to find the unit and figure out what is the unit. Sometimes in a narrative book, it's three chapters, mm-hmm. right? or chapter 16.
Oh, like a book like Esther or yeah. Ruth, kind of like a narrative.
Right. Yeah. Something like that too would be, you know, you really need all four chapters of Ruth to understand mm-hmm. Ruth. It's a story. It's a unit. So that's one part of it. The other part I would say just in regards to Bible reading is the other ditch people go into is they get really into the historical cultural context. Mm-hmm. And that's when you get, I would argue, distortions of like Jesus's teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount. Well, if you knew that the people in the crowd actually had this thought about that, and that's why I think you can get into the weeds. I think mm-hmm. the Bible is sufficient, meaning everything that the scriptures say gives us enough to interpret it on its own. It's good to know who was the original audience, but if we go too far into that ditch, we start building bridges. I'll give you a good example. It's a hot take and a hot topic. Women pastors, 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy 3. I already know where it is. Shows you how much I'm worried about it. But what happens is if you get into the personal and the historical and the contextual side, one of the arguments is Paul was writing this letter to a specific church and there were specific women. And so they make this argument that this isn't a principle. It's a specific cultural thing. And what I'm saying is if you read the text the way that Paul would describe it, you would notice specifically in that example, he goes to creation. So he's making a larger argument to back up his point. But what I am saying is people will go so far to try to get the Bible to say what it wants by saying, let's go to the cultural part. And it's almost, you know what it is? It's Gnosticism. The idea of like there's a greater, higher knowledge that really smart people get. Mm. And you can have it too if you just meditate
or like,
on
or like extra revelation.
We call that woke now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So again, the idea, so I don't know how you go, you can take that one and run with it, Jim. I'm not the expert there, but I would say it's trying to do more with the scriptures than you need to try to get it to say more that'll fit into what you want it to say. But to Jim's point, what I love when Jim talks about reading the Bible is he says, the Bible is breaking me down. I'm not breaking the Bible down. The Bible is showing me what I'm That's lacking. Really I'm not telling the Bible what it's lacking. And when you get into cultural stuff, you're trying to say, well, God wasn't smart enough to give me all the contextual context that I need, so I need to backfill it by reading old dead Jewish literature or something. And I would say, if the Bible is truly sufficient, as the word we use in Christian circles, it means that you can read it and understand it. You won't get all of it, but you'll understand it enough to be able to apply it, and you don't need outside sources to be able to get the thrust of the scriptures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, the Bible is sufficient. And I think we don't have to be Bible scholars to read the scriptures. We can just read it. Like I said earlier, it's kind of in layers. But to this idea, I don't need to go to college to figure it out per se. But at the same time, if I'm engaged in a Bible study where we can talk about these things and we can look at these things, then we bring a collective to that room and we can all have a better perspective out of it.
Yeah.
And so we can go to those deeper things. So I don't have to feel a burden to dig all this stuff up myself and figure mm-hmm. out should I be looking at this in a historical way? How should I be, how do I put the context or look at the context in this?
Yeah.
But I assemble myself together with people that can help me, mm-hmm. help me things. So I just don't have to take that whole burden on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just read the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I think it goes back to the idea of reflecting and meditating on the scripture and not letting us change the scripture, but the scripture change us, like you said. And it helps us discern and align ourselves more with what God's word says, because we don't, because that you see the issue in our culture today when people are trying to push their own agenda and they want to mold the scripture to what they, to back up what they say, to affirm the things that they say, which is not good, right? We can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we have, like, I started reading a book. I won't mention the book, but I started reading this book, and they mention how a pastor gave out kind of it's like an Advent reading. So, like, there's always this season between that we celebrate before it comes to Christmas of Christ's birth. And instead of it being solely about Jesus, the Advent reading was a lot about, like, say, climate change. Or, yeah, so it's like, well, this would affect Jesus if he was here now. And I'm like, what does that have to do with the coming of Christ? Nothing, right? So there's this move, and I think you see it through, like, the United Methodist Church, I think some, like, Lutheran-y kind of idea, the Episcopal Church, of let's just live our own truth, and we'll take the Bible verses that make us feel nice and fluffy and affirm love or inclusion, and that's it. And there's no change. There's no heart change. There's just change to the scripture, or there's lack of scripture at all. There's no authority that comes from scripture in these groups. And I would warn you, stay away from them, because you will be misled and you will be taken down. Like, I get it. It's we want people to come. We want people to come and know Jesus. But that doesn't mean we compromise on truth at all.
Mm-hmm.
We are foolish. We are fools if we do it that way. And we, like, I mean, the teachers that teach these things will be judged even more. They'll be held more to account to the deception. I'm saying some pretty harsh words, and I really don't care. But it's like through the deception that they have done on innocent people. I get we're all sinners, but when you're manipulating people to believe a different agenda, beside, like, it's deception. It's lying. It's
James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged at a greater strictness. You're just warning the people, like, if you're not going to teach the scriptures appropriately, like, you will give an account for that, just like we all give an account for everything.
Yes.
So I agree with you.
Yeah.
And it is sad to me that...
Well, this is crazy to me, the idea of, like, let me get in the Bible and find the thing that supports what I believe already, instead of opening the Bible to, like, be changed.
Yeah.
Or be educated or just be informed.
And, you know, I think... Maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me that. But I think it starts off in the right mindset. I don't think it's... I think 95% of the time, it's not out of, like, malice or deceit. I think it's...
This road is paved in good intentions.
Yes, yeah. I think it's good, but when we're not... That's why you have the high... Like, the man in the high tower. And I think that's a problem with pastors. When they're isolated and alone... It can go both ways. It can go to super authoritarian, like, I am the voice piece for God and the Holy Spirit. Listen to what I have to say. Or it shoots to the other end. There's never a middle ground here, but it's like it shoots to the other end where everyone's welcome. You don't have to change anything. You know what? You just come on in. You just identify with whatever you want to identify, and you're fine. You're going to heaven. There's no hell.
You a cat? We got litter boxes.
Yeah. So it's like, there's no hell. There's no anything else. Like, that's not right either. You don't want either of those. You want a pastor that's in the word. I'm not prescribing anything. So don't take it that way. But, like, that's like soaking himself in the word, and the word is changing him. And then that message gets preached clearly to the congregation. That's what you want. you don't want anything less, right? And that, yeah. Go ahead.
There is this tendency to pull in cultural things currently into our thought. I guess it's going to be there anyway, but to take that and start to run with it becomes dangerous. And I think that's another reason why we should read the scriptures, because we can know that when something comes up, that it's not relevant to this, because it's not here. It's not in the scriptures. I've been reading. I can't find it. So we can let that go.
I think it's interesting. It's almost like God showed us these patterns in creation. You ever know, you're kind of nerdy in a good way.
Yes.
What's the law of thermodynamics that says things go from more order to less?
Second.
So
thermodynamics.
Yeah, thermodynamics.
Second law of thermodynamics.
Yeah, things go from more ordered to less ordered. And when I think about, did you know it?
No.
Because I'm not calling on you, Bryce, because I know you didn't know it.
It ends with the heat death of the universe.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is, it's a pattern that I've noticed that also seems to apply spiritually. People go from, it seems in our culture in this moment, people are going from more center-cut Christianity to less. More, it just seems like there's more influences pushing on people, and people that maybe we would have thought were a little more in tune with what the scripture had to say have kind of given up the farm in some areas. And, you know, obviously some have gone even further right and done some crazy stuff, but it would seem that the draw on us, whether, because again, I don't want to make it political, so you could say right or left either way, but the point is there's this core of biblical Christianity, and it seems like external forces are trying to pull us from more ordered to less ordered.
That's like, not to like,
you could say whatever you
no
want.
Like, so
mine,
yeah, I'm just gonna say that.
Quit that,
you're here, man. You're the one coming in hot, and we will let you keep coming in hot. I like the new Brandon, if I can be honest.
Oh yeah,
I like hot take Brandon.
You know, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. So apparently Brett,
it's not gonna be funny at all.
I think Brett,
you got him started.
Apparently
this is
Brett,
all your fault, Brett.
Apparently Brett says I'm more mature than I used to be, and
I've never said
and that. Bethany told me this, and I was like, she said that, and I looked down at my phone, and I've been using this new AI music generator, and I looked down, I'm like, oh, I'm writing a lot about communist clowns. Like, what a weird
That's
thing.
Better. When I thought you were going full communist. So, like, you've changed a lot.
Did you?
Because well, three years ago, they would have been gay communist clowns.
Sure. Yeah. Where were we at?
You're growing as a person.
You're growing. That's what we... That's
okay,
what
no.
You are becoming more to the center, and you're not fringe.
Yes.
Which is a good sign. Right. I mean that. I mean, I think sure. The more Whatever. We come to biblical faithfulness, I think it causes us to give up preconceived notions, and, and we all have them, and... It's good, yeah.
But just as that doesn't mean we're becoming cookie cutter Christians.
No. Yeah, good point.
Because
good point.
We've had conversations, and we're not all on the same page,
right?
No, and we which is fine.
It's great.
And it's great that we can come together, and not like strangle each other,
right?
Because there's some groups that would you put us all in the same group, we're all divided. I'm going to hell. I have tattoos. Like, I listen to metal music. Like, there's people, I'm like, that's
And I love you in spite of both of those things. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm going to hell.
Just
we said it. I said it, Dad. I believe in hell. I'm just, I hope my dad listens to this.
I hope so, too. You've called him out so many times.
Because I love my dad and his big, bald head. And his gray beard. He's really great now.
Big, bald head.
Nothing wrong with a gray beard.
Shh. Are we talking to
him? It's getting into my mustache now.
I love it.
So, Jim, you're talking something about how we can all be together, even though we're not cookie cutter, which I think is a really good point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then it derailed.
Yeah, we did that.
Derailed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, unity.
No. It's good because we are very different. We all are wrestling with life's issues, and we all when we have conversations we're not always on the same page, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong and I'm right most of the time probably, but
Hey, man, why are you looking at me? No,
I think there is a very, very narrow.
I think what have you said? No,
I think there's a very narrow thing that we call orthodoxy that we all have to hold to. Otherwise, we're not talking about the same faith. Yeah. And then there's this wider thing that is not as clear cut. There's no thus saith the Lord. So we will have some flexibility. So verse chapters like Romans 14 or 1 Corinthians 8 that talks about bearing with one another. I think why the New Testament talks about unity is because there's this whole group of things that we might not agree on, whether it's political, personal, or whatever, that the Bible doesn't speak to directly. And if we don't do that, if we don't give each other the space to be that way, we lose unity because we're not actually practicing. I would argue biblical Christianity is finding a way to be unified in the things we don't agree with. Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, we aren't even talking about the same religion.
Oh, yeah.
So if we all believe Jesus is the Christ, I'm telling you that I think biblical Christianity is, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that is going to go on when you're all together that you're not going to see eye to eye on, and we have to. There are Christians that think that having tattoos is a sin. Mm-hmm. I think they're wrong. But that doesn't mean that I can't fellowship with them, be friends with them, and ultimately seek their good and love for them. So I just think as Christians, I think part of being good Bible readers is knowing an essential and knowing what a non-essential is and understanding that all of it is done in love.
Yeah.
You know what? Jesus, towards the end, he says, I give you a new commandment. That's to love one another mm-hmm. as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. And by this, that the world's going to know.
That's right? A great verse.
And the reality is, love doesn't come because we all look the same.
Right.
In fact, love comes because we show grace and we're inviting mercy mm-hmm. and forgiveness, and we have to deal with all those things, and we're unafraid to deal with those.
I've heard someone say, and I think it's true, if someone were an unbeliever to walk into your church, the only logical thing that could tie all these people together is Jesus.
Mm.
If you're all the same political party, the same background, that stuff, like, that's not church. That's a social group. Like, right. a true church is what binds us together is Christ. We different social economic statuses, different political views. All that stuff is ultimately secondary, doesn't matter. And again, I think, why does this matter about talking about scripture reading is because too many people read the Bible and find things in there that aren't essentials, and they make them essentials. And they say, well, you know, you couldn't be a Christian and vote for Kamala Harris. And if you are, church discipline. Kick him out of the church. I've seen that on the internet.
Yeah.
I've just tried to delete Twitter off my phone.
That's probably a good idea.
Ugh, barf. Anyway, so.
That's cool. But no, I like, not to reference my father again, but like, he came to like, he came
you're
to
gonna.
Our.
But you've gone.
But you're saying things, and it's affirming him through the things that he said to me. So it's like, he came to our church, and he's like, it's a sign of a good church when you can't get anyone out the door. There's unity there. You want to be with one another. Right. And that's, and like, you come to our church, we have a diverse view of like certain,
there,
like,
everything.
There are some wild barn cats at our church.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I love it.
But somehow we're together, and it's like, become like, it's just, I don't know. That, like you said, I think the more we become in tune with the essentials of what the Word of God says, those other things kind of just don't matter.
They matter. I mean, they matter, and you should be convicted.
Yeah.
You should vote your convictions. You should live your convictions. You should teach your kids the way you're convicted. But we have to give grace to say somebody might be not convicted in the same way you are, and that's okay. So get together, be firm with each other, talk hard. Hey, man, I really think this is what it should be, and that's great. But at the end of the day, if there's love under the table, there can be love on top of the table. If I love you no matter what, if we're going into this conversation saying you're my brother and I love you, we disagree on this and I want to talk to you about it. I want to show you why I think it's wrong. But at the end of the day, if we break up and I'm not convinced, you're not convinced, I still love you because you're my brother. That's Christian unity. That's showing, that's they will know you by your love. It's like I can come back on Sunday and see that guy and say, hey, I still love you. Mm. Yeah. And I don't agree with you on this, but I agree with you on so much of this other stuff. And so I want to love you while you're figuring it out.
Yeah, you know, I think if we come with the right attitude, we're not going to be easily offended either.
Amen.
So we're on that, on the flip side of that coin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you disagree with me, how could you?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Well, yeah, it's the difference between getting into a discourse or an argument with the goal of let's get unified on this.
Mm-hmm.
is going to come with, even if you don't end up unified on the on your opinion afterwards, if you disagree at the end, but that was your goal, you can come out of it peacefully. Where if you go into it like, I'm going into this to win an argument,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you, that's when there's the hard feelings and the offense, and yeah. That's when you feel like you lost or like they were a sore loser or something like that, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah, well, I think debate, a good debate to the point of like, we're trying to figure out some truth here, like that's a good thing, like, and we should have more of that. But in our kind of polarizing society and culture, it's become like, you either with me or you're against me, and if you're not, like, you're out of my life. And that's not
what take is, we'll what take sides you know? We take sides on everything.
Yeah. It's just like, who cares?
What phone's in your pocket right now?
Well,
the right
yeah,
one.
Yeah, exactly.
Got him. See what I did there?
That's the point. Like, that's.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. No.
I overheard so much of this, like, discussion with some of the young adults in our church about, well, I need to get an iPhone because my word bubbles are green on everyone else's phone. They're blue. And I was just like, you care so much.
Bryce, right? I mean, this is you're literally just talking about me.
No, this is a younger group than us. You're not the young people. You're not the young.
Yeah, you're not young. Right.
You're not the young.
Maybe 5 years ago, you were the young people.
No, you're no longer. Your neck down here.
Well, I would say, did like I?
The kids working at the lunchbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, one of them was like, oh man, can you kick him out of the chat? His word bubbles are green.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
You know what? You guys need to chill.
That's awesome. Well, is it? I think this verse kind of brings all this conversation together. But Psalms 19:7-8 would say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So yeah, the law and the word converts the soul. It brings the soul to where it needs to be, pointing towards Christ. That's good.
What's funny to me is that we already started talking about question three. You didn't even realize it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so if everyone who's listening, if they want to know what question three was, so that you can think about it and ponder on it for yourself, and maybe we can put these in the episode notes, so that they can kind of think about them. Right.
You're gonna have to remind me.
I'll send it to you. So question three was this: in what ways can community discussions and teachings help deepen our understanding and application of biblical principles in our daily lives? Yeah, I think we were hitting that pretty.
Yeah, I feel like we were hitting it hard.
I think one of the funnest things about being in Bible study is having the person that won't just let you say what you want to say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had a couple over the years where I couldn't get away with nothing. Nothing. Which is good. It's a little scarier when you're younger and you're like, I don't even know that I know what I'm doing. So to be questioned is hard, but the older you get.
I came from Calvary Chapel. I don't know what I'm doing.
If I'm not right, then the rest of my notes don't help.
I spent hours preparing and now they're all out the window.
Yeah. I've been looking at the wrong one.
I think when you think about Christianity in general, it's about a relationship, right? And it's about a relationship with Christ, but it's also about a relationship with the people around me, you know. And sometimes we can get caught up in the lesson and not the relationships. So, in other words, my Sunday school class is a success if I get from point A to point B, when in reality, what I really need to do is hear what they have to say and what we can talk about, mm-hmm. and how can I love on them best.
Yeah. So again.
So the answer to question three is do it.
Yeah.
Get in community and discuss
things. Well, and like be prepared to maybe be uncomfortable, right? Like, that's how you grow. Because then if it's like, why am I feeling this at the moment? Like, question the things that you feel. Like, I know a lot of, like, there's a movement in Christianity to be like, nothing, like, this is nothing about feelings. I'm like, well, God made our feelings. God made us in a way that we can discern, like, lies. Like, you can tell when someone's lying to you, and you're kind of like, yeah, that's crap. Like,
that's not true. And but he, and he's also has given us things to like feelings to like feel love and feel content or feel.
And I think our feelings are, we wear them.
Yeah.
And they're for our people around us to kind of get a gauge on where we are. If I remember back when we were doing like the podcast about like leading worship, and we talked about like the sometimes.
I would love to go back and redo that one. Yeah. I listened to that and I wanted to barf.
But there's some good stuff.
Cringe.
We talked about the.
Just me, not you guys. Me.
Talking Cringe. About like, you know, if you show up on a bad day and you get the job done anyway, that's part of the job. But if that becomes every Sunday, then you're in the wrong season right now. Yeah. And I think that feelings are, you know, it's on your face. It's in your body language. Mm-hmm. And it is for your support system. It's for your group. It's for your people to be like, hey, you're having a rough time right now. And this rough time right now has been months. What's up? Yeah. And, you know, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, those feelings are important. They're not goals.
It's like the people seeing that transpire, like taking that step and be like, hey, what's going on? Like that, like, and we need to be better at doing those things. Like,
oh yeah. I say this being like completely dense to this all the time. No. I'm so bad at reading people.
I'm not like, yeah. And I'm not like, I mean, I've become more dense just because I've had a tendency to take on other people's like problem and make it my own. And I don't want that. So it's like, I want to be like, oh, that's surprising. Like, tell me about it. Let's figure this out. So like have more of an openness instead of like a super observant, which I think is probably okay. Like that's not, I don't need to observe everybody's issues. I'm not your pastor, nor am I a pastor. I'm not certified, but I can get that certification. I'm assuming on Google.
It's probably possible. So I would say with emotions.
With the Methodist Church.
With emotions. Cool. Emotions are a lot like a smoke detector or like the symptoms to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't treat symptoms. You have to get to the root. Mm-hmm. So our emotions are symptoms of what's going on in our heart.
Yeah.
And just like with a fire, so I'm mixing my metaphors, but like with a fire detector, like if it's going off, like the answer isn't to go and hit it with a hammer to make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is to fix the fire. Or when it comes to being a doctor, like if you'd be considered a bad doctor if all you were working with were the symptoms and not the root causes. And so our emotions are important. You can't untether our lives from our emotions. And I would say the Bible has promises for our emotions. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, those are all emotional states in some way, or at least either emotional states or emotional states between two people and showing your emotional state to somebody. So they're not without need. I think that's the other thing. Well, if you become a high-minded Bible guy, like you will lose your emotions. You'll become part of the frozen chosen. I think true biblical Christianity is
frozen.
The frozen chosen. You never heard that expression?
That used to be the name for like the PCA church.
Yeah. No, dude, way back in the day when Babylon Bee first started and all they did was Christian satire, they had Presbyterian church puts in motion sensor lights in the church and they shut off the middle of the service.
Oh,
because they just stand still and say they don't move, you know? That's the joke. But what I'm saying is, I think true Christianity is experiential Christianity.
Mm.
And I don't think anybody listening to us should say, if being more Bible-minded means that you're less emotional, are you experiencing things less? I think that's not true. And I think we shouldn't allow that lie to go through either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scriptures give us the guardrails we need to better interpret our emotions, know what our emotions are, and how to utilize our emotions to God's glory. So, yeah, I don't think we should go one or the other.
Honestly, haven't we seen, like, to our bare face, the most, like, glorious and amazing things by getting into the Word? Shouldn't we have the biggest emotions afterwards?
Yeah, that be right.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what we... As a church, we're dealing with the eternal and the most immense, most infinite things that you can try to comprehend. And they're the biggest and most beautiful, and it's all God. Yeah. And it's all I mean, it's just so huge that we should be feeling the most.
Yeah.
I really want to like make an illustration out of something super nerdy, but I don't know if it's a good idea or not.
I love nerdy things.
Okay.
Go for it.
Star Trek. Here we go.
Edit.
So like, so like, you know how Spock is just like so like stoic and stone faced. Yeah. The Vulcans as a race got that way because if they're not, then they're crazy. The Vulcans are extremely wild, temperamental, rage beasts until like one of them found that enlightenment of not feeling and shared it with everyone. It's like their history is just absolutely like nuts, and then they tempered it, and so it's kind of like I really hate that I'm making this illustration right now, but it's
I might break like, it down for you.
But it's yeah, we're as long as like the emotions that we get to experience by experiencing grace from the creator of the universe, if we're channeling them properly, magnifying and reflecting the glory back to him, then it's great to have them.
Yeah.
They're good. And they do just that. They bring him glory.
Yeah.
That is their purpose.
Yeah.
I think in the long run.
Well, I think that like to break it down just a bit. I mean, there's in the last 10 to 20 years now, there's been a big movement against like the charismatic side of Christianity, where like you can't express yourself that much. It's not good to do that. You're missing the point. I'm like, no. like we should be expressive because God created us to be that way. He did not create us to be stoics or robots just taking in information. I'm not trying to be corny, but like when we light up and you see that in our bodies and our faces, when we talk about these things of God and these holy things of like, God came and saved me, or God came, like God sent his son to die on the cross that we might all have a chance to come to know him and to be a part of a greater kingdom. That should like, it would not translate to someone else. Like excitement would not translate to someone else if you just stood there stone cold, right? And gave me a 5-point like essay on why I should do that. I'm like, no, like this is something like you've been set free. You've been set free from the bondage of sin. You've been set free from the old ways of life that were destructive to you. These are good things. We should be excited about these things, not throwing them in the dirt. And I think I'm not going to say reformed side, but that's usually the ones that go after the charismatics. But I think we should like check ourselves a bit here and be like, are we just calling out the, I'm like, are we just calling out the bad parts, or are we like showing grace? Be like, no,
have
I should
read
be.
Psalms lately.
Yeah.
That's what I'd ask.
Yeah,
anybody
read
the Psalms lately?
No.
It's a full range of human emotion by a guy who they say had, the Bible itself says, had a heart after God's own heart.
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, just today we heard in the sermons, you know, Psalm 119, David saying things like, I love your law. I delight in your law. But then he also says things like, I don't want to read your law. Give me the eyes to read. So this guy apparently has the full range of human emotions.
Yeah.
And to say that we wouldn't is just foolishness.
Yeah.
It's foolishness.
Yeah.
This is the greatest. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Joy. I want more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Especially
I was born on the 5-yard line and I only got 3 yards to go.
especially now when everything that's bombarding us when it comes to like, if we're on social media, like everything's so negative or so like, what do you call it? Like processed joy. It's not real. It's fabricated joy. That's the word I was looking for. Like
counterfeit.
Yeah, it's counterfeit. It's like, oh, I feel so great after I put these lotions on my face and you can subscribe to my channel for $9.99. I'm like, okay, you're selling me something now. But real joy does not come from, it's not sold to you. Like you inherit that. Like I think you inherit it, right?
I've never tried it.
I haven't either.
I've never tried the skincare. I would have to hold off my judgment.
I've tried the supplements.
I don't understand how a sugar scrub can make you clean. It's sugar.
I don't know how CBD.
I would break out.
Please, Jim, get in here and save it.
So, you know, I'm not sure about the whole emotion thing, but we've kind of been like somewhat all over the map with that. I think there's a proper place, you know, like which has been discussed. There's extremes on the right and the left, too much, not enough, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that comes down to reading scriptures again, and it helps us discern what we need to keep into check and what we maybe need to let everyone else see.
Yeah,
and again, another reason why we should be reading our scriptures.
Yeah. We have any final thoughts?
Read your Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, read your Bible.
Get in there.
That's really all you need to do. Read your Bible and let your Bible change you. Yep. Do not try to change the Bible for your wants and desires. Make your wants and desires what the Bible has to say. That should be it. Right? Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Are we good? We all done? All right, well, this has been Outsiders, right? Yes. Right, yes.
That's the show we're doing.
Elect Exile? No.
Stop on that.
Let me redo that. This has been Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.